We've all seen the news coverage of the tragic aftermath from the earthquake in Haiti. I'm sure you've seen the tremendous destruction of buildings and infrastructure. You've seen the enormous loss of life. I remember seeing this one report a couple of weeks ago of dump trucks full of people, dead people, being driven out to a big open space and just being dumped in an open field. It's tragic. You've seen people who've survived yet are severely hurt. And then you've seen the grief and the pain that those people are experiencing after losing their loved ones and friends. On the other hand, you've also seen and witness the rescue and recovery effort made by rescue and relief organizations from around the world, including our U.S. military. Helicopters and earth-moving equipment, ships, generators, food, water, medical supplies have all been brought in there to aid in this rescue and recovery effort. And we need to be praying as all that's happening, that God would continue to show His mercy, and that this would be a time where the gospel would go forth and many people would come to truly know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I want to commend you as a congregation for your generosity. Around $1,500 was given from you all to go to the relief effort. There's a Christian organization, a Christian medical missions organization that the ARP is working with, and that money is going to help them. So thank you. I thank God for working in you and showing His love through you in that way. The recovery and rescue effort of the last 4 weeks now has turned into a restoration effort. People are being fed. The injured are being treated and they're healing. And soon, the infrastructure, the homes and the businesses, the government institutions and churches will begin to be rebuilt. It's going to take a long time, but they're underway. So this effort in Haiti is one of rescue and restoration. And so is the redemptive work of God in this broken, fallen, sin-cursed world. Two Sundays ago, in the first of a series of sermons on the vision of the church, I said, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that God's reason for tomorrow is salvation, is redemption. The redemption, the salvation, the rescue of perishing sinners. Peter says there that the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, the promise of the second coming of Christ, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So what Peter is saying is God is patiently preserving the world, giving us tomorrow after tomorrow to give people time to repent of their sins and trust Christ for salvation. God is patiently and powerfully working to rescue perishing, His perishing people. That's why Peter says in verse 15 that David read earlier. He says, consider the patience of the Lord Jesus as salvation. That's God's reason for tomorrow. Now, God's reason for tomorrow, however, extends beyond the rescue operation. In this time of delay, He is also patiently working to restore those who have been rescued from perishing into the perfect likeness of His Son. That's salvation, too. Salvation is not only being rescued from perishing, but also being restored into the beautiful likeness of Jesus Christ. We're all image bearers of God, and that image has been marred and distorted. We're not like Jesus Christ the way we ought to be in our character and conduct. So God is out to take those whom He has rescued by His grace and to work in their lives to restore them evermore to the likeness of Jesus Christ. And Peter speaks about that in our passage this morning as we pick up where we left off in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Now, we could have gone to many places in Scripture to make this point, but I chose to stay with this section of Scripture. And I want you to listen to the living Word of God this morning. After Peter says that the Lord is not slow concerning His promise, and that He's not wanting any to perish, but all come to repentance, he says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to His promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by Him without spot or blemish and at peace." Now, let me just say, I'm not going to give you a detailed treatment of the verses having to do with the renewal of the new heavens and a new earth. To some degree, that's beside the point that I want to make here, consistent, I think, with the passage, however. But I will make a few comments about that great restoration that is yet to come, where history is headed. When God's patience draws to an end, and when He pulls the curtain to on history in this world, when there are no more tomorrows, they're done. Those tomorrows which God is giving to people so that they might turn from their sin and trust in Christ. When that's done, when no opportunity remains for that, Jesus Christ will return. And that return, according to Peter, is certain. He will come. And it's going to be a surprise. He will come like a thief, the text says. And at that time, He will judge and destroy the ungodly who resisted repentance. Remember verse 7, which we looked at a couple of weeks ago. Peter said there, "But by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly." In our passage, Peter says that their deeds will be exposed. Everything will be laid bare. Their works will be seen. Their lifestyles will be revealed. Their hearts will be unveiled. And they will perish along with the devil and his angels into the lake of fire. And this will be an absolutely horrible eternal existence. As I said 2 weeks ago, perishing includes suffering fiery torment, and then being separated from the glory of God, the glory of God whom you were created to be in the presence of and to enjoy and to reflect. That won't be the case for the ungodly who refuse to repent in this time of God's patience. And all of this, the fiery torment and being separated from the glory of God, will be an eternal reality. It will go on forever and ever and ever. That's the negative side of the equation. On the positive side, when Christ returns, He is going to restore and renew the heavens and the earth so that they are a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness instead of sin will be at home. And this will involve a great conflagration in which great fire will melt down the present heavens and the elements of the earth. And then God, by his power and his wisdom, the one who created the world to begin with, will refashion, remake, renew the present heavens and the present earth to be new and beautiful and glorious. And righteousness, Peter says, will be a way of life. Just like sin is a way of life today, righteousness will be the norm. Sin will be absent. It will be gone. And something else that will be completely restored is you. You will be restored. All the righteous in Christ will be completely restored. Every person who reached repentance and believed in Christ and persevered in holy living will be fully restored into the likeness and the image of God. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:14. I remember when I first read this verse, it just struck me as a very powerful and beautiful text where we read, "Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven." Amen. That's where we're headed. That's what's going to happen when the new heavens and the new earth are restored. You who know Christ as Lord and Savior will become as the man of heaven, Jesus Christ, who today is the God-man seated in the heavens, ruling over his kingdom. He's glorified humanity. And he's there. And that's where we're headed. And it is he that we're going to be like in our humanity. And this is something that God will accomplish by his transforming power, as Paul says in a prayer in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." It's going to happen. It's for certain. This is God's promise, and he will unleash his power. And when you see the Lord Jesus Christ coming in the heavens, you will become as he is. God will surely do it. He will complete your sanctification. But in the meantime, he is in the process of restoring you gradually now. That's what he's up to in the world. That's his reason for tomorrow. During this time of delay, as he provides tomorrow after tomorrow, he is working for your salvation from the power of sin. He is working to conform those like you who have reached repentance to the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. Great passage in Romans. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 29. We read there that God predestines you to be conformed to the image of his Son. So way back before the foundation of the world, when he set his love upon you to rescue you from perishing, he also set his love on you and predestined and determined that you would be one that he would work in this life, working to conform you to the likeness of his Son, to the character and conduct of Jesus Christ as he was here on earth in his humanity and then glorified. That is what God is up to here and now. Paul says there that God works all things that happen together for that good purpose. Now, in concert with that good work and goal, according to Philippians chapter 1, or chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, Paul says there that God is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So God is here, And his reason for tomorrow is, yes, to rescue you from perishing, but also to take you and work in your life so that you conform to the image of his Son. And he's so dedicated to that, that the Spirit that dwells within you gives you the willingness and the desire and the ability to pursue that goal. He makes you want to grow. He makes you so that you desire to pursue what he predestined you to become, conform to the image of his Son. And because of his work within you, Galatians chapter 5 says that the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit in you, resulting in Christ's character and conduct gradually developing in your heart and in your life. And that results in you being strengthened in your relationships with your spouse, your children, with your co-workers. You're able to love them. You're able to be patient with them. You're able to sit down in humility and admit your wrongdoing. You're able to sit down and ask forgiveness of someone to whom you've offended. God's at work, and he's working in you to help you become like his Son. He's committed to that. That's what he's doing right now. He's the primary worker. He is working. That's his reason for tomorrow. It's part of his redemptive work. It's not just salvation from perishing, but salvation from the power of sin in your life. He is overcoming it. He's dedicated to it. His Spirit resides in you to help you desire and have the ability to put off the old man and put on the new man that you are in Jesus Christ. It's because of this that you have the strong emphasis here in 2 Peter and elsewhere on the believer growing in godliness. Notice in our passage, since all these things are to be dissolved, the heavens and the earth, Peter reasons, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Then verse 14, therefore, beloved, since you are waiting, there is a delay, right? And God's working and you're waiting. Since you are waiting for these, the dissolution of these things, and for a new heavens and a new earth in which what? Righteousness will be at home. Be diligent to be found by him at Christ's return without spot or blemish, meaning be found pure and holy, living godly lives, and at peace. I think that means at peace with one another. We're peacemakers, not troublemakers. And so we want to be found that way when our Savior comes from the heavens. And then notice in the passage that we read earlier responsively, in that passage, we're reminded that God has provided everything that we need for life and for godliness, becoming godly in this life through his Son, Jesus Christ, and his written revelation. And because God has provided that, which is a clue as to what he's up to, I mean, he's provided what you need so that you can be about the work of growing and changing. So that's why he says in verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you, what? An entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Meaning the new heavens and the new earth, where righteousness will be a way of life. History is headed toward a new world where you will be completely righteous. God is working now. His reason for tomorrow is to work to prepare you for life in that new world. And thus the emphasis in Scripture on you pursuing godliness. If that's where you're going and the Spirit of God is dwelling within you, making you willing and able to do that, you will be pursuing it. You will want to and work hard to pursue holiness, righteousness, the image of God in Christ. For many years to come, the people of Haiti and many others from around the world will work day after day, tomorrow after tomorrow, to rebuild, to restore Port-au-Prince, making it a suitable home for the Haitian people. And it's needed, no doubt about that. But it's only temporary, unlike what God is doing. Your God is patiently working tomorrow after tomorrow to rescue the perishing and to restore the rescued into the likeness of God's Son, Jesus Christ, in a grand effort of gathering His covenant people, the church, for life with Him in a new heavens and a new earth, the eternal, not temporary, but eternal home of righteousness and of the righteous in Christ. That's God's reason for tomorrow.